You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
What are practical ways to encourage youth and adults to consider full-time church work? Well, today we continue our Set Apart to Serve conversations with Pastor Andrew Jago. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University, Wisconsin. You can learn more about Concordia University, Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us today, the Reverend Andrew Jago. He serves at Bethany Lutheran Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Pastor Jago, welcome back to the welcome to the Coffee Hour. Welcome back to KFUO.
Yeah.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Our listeners might recognize your voice because you are a regular guest on Sharper Iron, usually studying God's Word with Pastor Apple. But today we roped you into the Coffee Hour because we wanted to share your story a little more in depth. So thanks for being our guest.
Again, my pleasure.
So share with us a little bit about where you serve, Bethany Lutheran Church in Alexandria, Virginia.
Yeah. So if we're in the northern part of the Commonwealth of Virginia, right near the District of Columbia, so very near D.C., and very near the city of Alexandria. We're actually not in the city. We're in Fairfax County, very close to where General Washington's house is in Mount Vernon. So very beautiful area, right? Very close to the Potomac River and very diverse. Because right where we are by Route 1, there's just a lot of things going on. You could get into an area where you see a lot of Spanish on the signage, and that'll point you probably to a few good taco places. So it's a very interesting, very interesting place to serve.
Tell us more about your vocation as pastor and the congregation, the people you get to serve at Bethany.
Well, I've been pastor, goodness, hold on, calculating, about 27 years, and 18 of which I've been here at Bethany. It's such a wonderful church in terms of the people that you work with. There's some of people have been here, and I think, blessed them as they go on elsewhere. There's a lot of movement going on with the military and government jobs and so forth. But there's a core here that has just been, it's a very good cooperative relationship between pastor and people. Very talented people to work with. People who are very good at education, very good at worship, very eager to learn the liturgy and all the things that are here in the church. Some of whom, you know, that I've had contact with for a while that have gone on to be a pastor and gone on to church work. Again, it's been a blessing.
Speaking of going on to become a pastor, yes. Share with us your story of considering becoming a pastor, you know, even considering formation and education to become a pastor. Where did that begin?
Well, I'd have to say growing up, my dad is a LCMS pastor as well. And my home church was Concordia Lutheran in Newfane. And if it's like in New York, and it's like in the middle, people think New York is just one big city. But I grew up on the other side of the state where there's a lot of farmland and the church is situated, surrounded by cornfields. And I guess my story is not atypical just because I was encouraged a lot to be a pastor. And I said, no, thank you. I just did not see myself in that role. And I'd say I'd rebelled against it. So, and that was despite the fact that my dad was just very loving and supporting. My mom was as well. And so what led me to it was actually my Baptist best friend at the time in high school, who asked me to be a part of a Bible study. You have to keep in mind, this was a public school. So this is not the usual thing that people would do, but anybody could start a club, and as long as you had a faculty sponsor. So our math teacher at the time sponsored the group, and I have to say that when I was in high school, I kind of went through the motions of church. I mean, I had to be a church. There was just no, with my dad as a pastor, there was no arguing, you know, or hemming and hawing and no bargaining. You were just there. But I don't think I thought why I am here. I went through the liturgy. In that case, we did the liturgy out of the old hymnal, and I could do page 5 and 15 with my eyes closed, but I never gave thought to the words all that much. So when we did this public school Bible study, it was the first time that people asked me about my faith and what I believed. I don't know if I had too many close friends in high school, but I kind of drifted in this group and that group and so forth. And so it was a lot of different people. And it was the first time I had to stop and think, why am I doing this? Why am I going to church? What What does this mean? What does this mean? That's a good Lutheran question right there. I think it was the Holy Spirit at that time saying, yes, this is something that is a part of me. This is a part of my baptismal identity in Christ. I don't know if I had those exact words at the time, but again, I don't know exactly what I was saying to people, but I think there was a conviction that just really grew inside of me. So much so that I said, okay, let's give this a try. And I remember my mom being in tears when I told her I was thinking of becoming a pastor, and my dad saying, are you sure? Just going over his past experience, you know, he never fully settled into full-time ministry. He was from the beginning bivocational, we would say. He was a tent maker. He'd went into ministry full-time, but wasn't really for him. So he became a police officer. He went to the police academy, and then that was his full-time job. And then Concordia was his part-time parish on the weekends and then when people needed visiting. So that's why he was asking me, are you sure? And I said, yeah, you know, I had that conviction. And then I was even more sure. I think God confirms the decision. Any of you who may be thinking about this, you may not be 100% right when the Lord first puts that on your heart. But then I think there were doors that opened, there were scholarships that came in, people that I talked to that further encouraged me. And then when I finally got to, it was Concordia College Bronzeville, and got into my classes, that really locked it in, because I absolutely loved studying the scriptures. And when, like, the first professor, he was from the Midwest originally, that first showed me all the agricultural references that were in Hosea and Amos. Did I ever sit down and read Hosea and Amos before? No, I did not. But it just opened up worlds for me to see when things started getting connected from my life to the scriptures, one scripture to another. It was like sitting down to a smorgasbord. You know, you just wanted more and more. And it got me, that hunger, I think, grew inside me. The more I sat down to feast like that. And I guess I did okay, because 27 years later, I'm still really feeling the energy and feeling very fulfilled in this calling.
That's an amazing story. That is a very common thing that we've heard over the minute. I guess several years that we've been doing these stories of...
Over three years.
A pastor's child not wanting to go into ministry and ending up there anyway, just because of people and situations that have encouraged that child into church work. And these stories are always fun for us to learn, to know our church workers a little bit more. Who are some of those people that encourage you? You mentioned that people were encouraging you along the way. Who are some of those people?
Well, different church members. Like, my dad would put me on to, like, reading the scripture on Sunday morning, doing jobs like that, being an acolyte, you know. And so I also was not shy talking to people. I was into being in the theater group and being in choir when I was in public high school. So, you know, there were, I would say, various church members. The organist, I remember in particular, encouraging me, and especially because of the speaking, the public speaking aspect.
How did those opportunities for public speaking shape your future and your openness to speaking publicly, to leading, to teaching?
The more you do it, the more comfortable you are. I think it's absolutely horrifying. I remember coming back to my first sermon at my home church after I had started the pre-seminary classes in college, and it was horrible. It was just an awful. I had lost my place a couple of times. I was shuffling papers in the pulpit and everything, and they were so accepting and loving and caring and kind afterward. You know, but now it's like, you know, at that time you needed that, and you needed to get over and to have those opportunities, to have an environment, I think, where you feel comfortable. But then I did it more at school, and I did it more for strangers. And I think it was because you first had that environment where you could do it and get away with it.
Yeah. How did those experiences that you had throughout high school, really having to actually explain what you believe, has that informed now how you approach these conversations with other young people who are encouraging, or who you're...
Yeah, I'd say especially like confirmation and youth group, I like the fact that the kids here and any students that I've encountered through the years in all my times being a pastor, I've never been afraid of questions because that's what started me on this path. And I think the more that you encounter people who don't believe like you do, and the more questions that people have, I mean, that's the other radio show I'm on, Iron Sharpens Iron. It sharpens you. And you think about what it puts you in a place where you're thinking about what is it that I believe, and I think it sharpens your convictions of I think the Holy Spirit works on your, you know, with that faith that you were baptized into, and just owns that point, you know, just sharpens that point. It's sad. I mean, there was one. A couple times you encounter people of different faiths or people who are agnostic when you do funerals and weddings in a church. And it always makes me sad. There was one person that said, oh yeah, I left the church. I tried to ask all kinds of questions when I was in confirmation and the pastor just shut me down. And that's just a shame because, you know, that's again how I got into the ministry. So I think that's you have to not be afraid of different viewpoints and think people that think differently or ask questions, because that helps sharpen your own faith and gets you. I think Jesus is, his shoulders can handle all the questions that you have and the worries and anxieties and everything else too. So I think that's the other thing, is it helped me in my faith to be stronger in my faith and to share that with the youth and with confirmation students, especially. I think then, okay, yes, that's a source where I could keep coming back to, you know, I could keep coming and trusting in my Savior whenever I encounter things that I'm not sure about in life.
We're talking with Pastor Andy Jago of Bethany Lutheran Church in Alexandria, Virginia, as part of our Set Apart to Serve series. We'll continue the conversation, learn more about his involvement in a Set Apart to Serve pilot in just a moment. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason. To use your God-given gifts to help others. To live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world. To live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Today, we're talking with the Reverend Andrew Jago, pastor of Bethany Lutheran Church in Alexandria, Virginia, learning about his Set Apart to Serve story and how the Lord provided a way for him in his high school years to even begin thinking about serving as a pastor. And now serving as a pastor at Bethany Lutheran Church in Alexandria, Virginia for, is it 18 years you've been there? Is that right? Is that what
Indeed.
You said, Pastor?
Yes.
18 years the Lord has provided for you to serve the saints at Bethany. And I understand that you've been involved in a Set Apart to Serve pilot. Tell us a little bit about the pilot you've been part of.
Well, President Bill Harmon here in the Southeastern District just threw it out to me when he was in St. Louis, I think, at one time, and said, hey, would you be interested in this? And I said, well, yeah, I would. I mean, this is Set Apart to Serve is... At our district recently, we voted to encourage our congregations to look at the materials, to be a part of this, and to have the goal of Set Apart to Serve is to create a culture, in your church where you're talking about church vocations and actively encouraging people to look at that, to consider how the Spirit may be leading you to those different church vocations, not just pastor, but teachers and musicians and all those vocations that we have in our church, different callings. So to be able to talk about your calling is something that I've always felt strongly about. So this was an easy ask for President Harmon to get me to do this.
What has your experience been like with the pilot program and just using the materials in your daily rhythm of life as a pastor and in a congregation?
Well, the materials themselves, I mean, so when you look at the materials on the web, so getting involved in this group got me to look at the materials more closely. And there's the 7 vocations flyer that I think so I'm in a group with circuit visitors. Those circuit visitors, if your listeners aren't familiar, are the pastors of the pastors in a certain area. We check in with our fellow pastors, and we work with the district president to get the district resources to them, in short. A bunch of us from across, so one of the things that's neat things about this group is there's a bunch of us from across the country. So I'm communicating with pastors in the Midwest, on the West Coast, and Delaware, and or up in New England. And it's just amazing. And so there's some commonality in all of our experiences and what we encounter at our individual churches, but then also as we're encountering the Set Apart to Serve program, and we're talking about how this is going to be useful, not just for us individually, but for the other pastors in our circuit, in our area. So we're looking at the materials that are there and discussing on how helpful they are and what is the most useful. And I think that's, to get us all together, like I said, there's some commonality that is there and some things that I think, some feedback that we're giving that I hope is helpful for the National Synod as they further develop these materials.
What have you learned since you've been involved with the pilot and reviewing the resources?
Well, it's opened my eyes. So part of it is creating a culture, and it's been a little eye-opening. So then I take what I learn in those small groups, and then it opens my eyes to what's going on in my church and in my circuit already and in my district already. And I was like, oh, yes, we do those things. And I may not have realized it as such before. There's some culture, for church vocation at my church. And then there's certainly in our district, when we do junior high youth and senior high youth activity, retreats, and the people considering church work vocations are, there's usually a talk that's related to that. So I've learned a lot about that, and I've also learned looking at the different experiences across the country. One of the things I learned just relating to my job as a circuit visitor, we all struggle with communication. Will you please read your emails? We'd say to our fellow pastors, will you please, the Synod can communicate things over and over again and have a really wonderful program. But getting people to look at it is just forever a challenge. And it's the same thing in our individual churches. Did you read the weekly e-news? Pastor, I didn't know that was happening. Did you read your weekly e-news? Did you read your church newsletter? And I think when we discuss some of those things and some of the how we problem solve, that's been very helpful to me.
Tell us about some of the cultural things you notice. You mentioned that reading through the materials and talking with other people, you realize that you're already doing some of this stuff. What were some of those things that you happen to already be doing that are a part of building this culture of encouraging church work?
Well, in my individual church, so it made me reflect back on people that I've encouraged along the way and people who have been encouraged by others. So one that turned out really well, we had a person who was in the military serving in the Army at the time, and he helped out helping lead the liturgy, and he loved the liturgy in our church. And he came from, Episcopalian Anglican background prior to that. And so he had a lot of questions about that. And I was, I can't remember exactly what I said to encourage him. And one of his responses was, well, Pastor, I will do anything for the church except be a pastor. I will not do it. And I said, well, wait a minute, be careful. I know this person named Jonah who had a very similar attitude about what he would and would not do. And I think we know how that worked out for him. So, and it's so funny. So at his ordination, in North Carolina, at his ordination, his pastor was preaching, and he must have shared that story with his pastor, because his pastor then shared that story with the congregation during the sermon. there's certain individuals too that go through our youth program, and that I think just have that aptitude for teaching. Well, there's one in particular who really has an aptitude, I felt, for theology. I mean, theology deep into theology. He took a class on St. Augustine in Virginia University. So it's at a public university. And we have regular conversations that talk about grace and sin and things like that. So I nicknamed him Chaplain. And he's right now serving in Space Force. So he said no, and he always says no, no, no. But I don't know. I got the same feeling that the Lord's going to do something with that at some point. So really, it's about planting seeds, and I think that's how I communicate this culture with my fellow pastors. And I've heard that with my group, with my small group as well. You know, about how it's being aware of how we plant seeds in the materials that we're looking at. There's a lot of, whether you're a pastor or an elder or one of the other workers in the church, it's just creating situational awareness. How can you have, there's actually a guideline for how you can have these conversations and not be afraid of those conversations. It may not be that everybody has, you know, the skill set, but those that do, that you notice, you know, how can you broach the conversation about, hey, would you consider a calling in serving the Lord in the church in a certain way? And have you considered, you know, Y and Z, you know, being a musician, being a pastor, being a teacher, and so forth?
Now, you mentioned the Seven Vocations booklet as one of the resources. Any other Set Apart to Serve resources that you want to highlight today that you've come across through your involvement with the pilot?
Well, I think the church guide, though, has you creating a team, and we're a small church, and that's the other thing being in this small group. You have some pastors that are pastors of large churches, some that are pastors of small churches. So what I've done is I've adapted that and thought about how, you know, I could bring this material into an elders meeting, how I can bring this material into our, you know, to take it to our director who does youth ministry and so forth in our church, and to encourage the conversations that way. And what I like is that it's very concrete, you know, it's very, this is how you could broach, you know, the subject, but it's also not so overdone that it doesn't give people the flexibility and freedom to think about, okay, how would I do this in my way, using my words and in my particular situation when I'm with the youth or I'm teaching a confirmation class and that sort of thing.
As we wrap up today, what is your wisdom or advice for young people or those older, maybe looking at a second career, who have thought about church work and maybe need a little bit of wisdom or advice of how to consider that kind of calling?
I'd say the first thing, don't tell God what you're not going to do, because that doesn't always work out. But yeah, just it's having an open heart. And I, going back to my experience again, it may not be something that you can say. If it's something that is really strange and out of the blue, when someone says, hey, I think you'd make a good teacher, or you're really good with the youth, maybe consider being a director of Christian education or something along those lines. Just let it be open. Just to have the, and pray. I think that's key. There was a lot of prayer when people were coming up to me left, right, and center in a public high school, and sometimes I had to pray for patience too. Well, if we make a group for you, we can make a group for the Satanists as well. And I'd say, well, yeah, I guess you could. I won't be joining that group, but you know, and just to keep your head and keep cool, you know, that was the Holy Spirit had a lot to do with that, because if it were just my awkward self in high school, you know, I would have just fell apart. But I think that I felt the Holy Spirit, and I think if anyone is encouraging you, that's the Holy Spirit, not just that individual. And so this is a spiritual process that involves a lot of prayer and spiritual direction from the Lord. You never know. What is that one prayer? We don't know the end of the road. We don't know. It's something about our calling and our ventures. We don't know how things are going to turn out exactly. And it may not be exactly as people say to us or how we're thinking it, but the Lord has a plan. I think that's always what we come down to. It's always the Lord's plan, and that's where we put our trust and our faith.
Our guest today, the Reverend Andrew Jaco. He's pastor of Bethany Lutheran Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Thanks so much for being part of the Set Apart to Serve conversations here on the Coffee Hour.
My pleasure. This was great and a lot of fun.
You can learn more about Set Apart to Serve by visiting lcms.org/SAS. You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.